Hey everyone, this is Robin Harris, and I'm making another podcast. It's probably been a little over a week since I have, since I've made one. Of course, a lot's happened, and sometimes I like to just to take my time and think about what it is that I really want to talk about. And of course, there's this thing called life where you have to kind of operate around and navigate around those things. So, but I want to talk about the Protect and Serve Act. As you know, I'm an activist, political candidate, and revolutionary person, and I happen to live in Orlando, Florida. And there are a lot of interesting things that are taking place. And so one of those things that has really been on my mind and I like to kind of sound off about is the recent Protect and Serve Act. The Protect and Serve Act. And just give you some backdrop about that. It, or the Blue Lives Matter Act, which some people may call it. Blue Lives, not Black Lives, but Blue Lives Matter. This was sponsored by Representative John H. Rutherford. And the reason why I'm sounding off about this is because Congressperson Val Demings, District 10, which affects the Pine Hills area, which affects Black and Brown communities, is a co-sponsor of this. You know, her background is former police officer. She is the spouse or the wife of Sheriff Jerry Demings here in Orlando or Orange County. So there's a lot of stuff in there, you know, nepotism and this Black bourgeois that we're facing and dealing with. So this, let me look up some of this stuff so I can read it off to you about this Protect and Serve Act. It's not like the policeman didn't have any protection already. So this adds more bad policies, opens the door for more mass incarceration. It opens the doors, of course, for more disparities and issues in our communities, because at this rate, it makes you wonder to what limit, which of course we know this, is to what level this will be utilized. And I'm trying to find, I want to read some things about this bill. It's significant. This bill amends the Federal Criminal Code to add a new section that imposes criminal penalties on a person who knowingly causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury to a law enforcement officer in certain circumstances that affect interstate commerce. So let me read that again. This bill amends the Federal Criminal Code to add a new section that imposes criminal penalties on a person who knowingly causes or attempts to cause serious bodily injury to a law enforcement officer in certain circumstances that affect interstate commerce. And that's concerning in so many ways, because what if an officer gets scratched or so many what ifs. And these penalties, they carry up to 10 years imprisonment. So it's passed the House. And I imagine that the next step will be the Senate, and then the president will sign it, and then it becomes a law. Now, us knowing who this president already is, and he already earlier this, I think it was this year, told the policemen to use as much force as they felt necessary. So this bill probably was already in the making. And all those times that, you know, Val Demings has come to Pine Hills, I mean, yeah, they knew what she knew what was going on, and so all those questions that were asked about privatization of prisons and other issues, you know, she already knew that this bill, and she already knew that she had sponsored it or co-sponsored it. So yeah, she gave us a bunch of bullshit. So this is a very concerning bill. It's going to affect us greatly, and I think what's so ratchet about it is that, you know, this comes after shootings of two individuals who were unarmed, one being, of course, on the OPD side and the other being on the county side. And so you see right there, there's no protection for citizens, especially Black and brown people. They're going to find every way that they can to use these bills and laws against us. So this is just more bad policies, more bad opportunities for bad policing. It does not help us one bit. It doesn't help us one bit. So these are more what we can call Black codes, because this is for Florida. This bill, these folks are from Florida, and it doesn't matter that Val Demings is Black. That, as I keep saying, the whole Black bourgeois or these Black surrogates that are in place that have been co-opted, that have been prompted and set up with white supremacy. This is what this does. This enhances us. But I want to talk about the Black codes, because this is a big one. This is a big one. So just a little info on our memory jargon on Black codes. Southern states enacted Black codes after the Civil War to prevent African Americans from achieving political and economic autonomy. Listen, these things are put in place to keep us from excelling, to keep us oppressed. This is what this is all about. When slavery was abolished at the end of the Civil War, Southern states created Black codes aimed to keep white supremacy in place. Black codes attempted to economically disable free slaves, forcing African Americans to continue to work on plantations and to remain subject to racial hierarchy within the Southern society. Black codes gave rise to a new wave of radical republicanism in Congress and the eventual move towards enshrining racial equality into the Constitution. However, Black codes also set precedent for Jim Crow laws. And so we know that we are living with these new Jim Crow laws already. And it's interesting because that we know that within the Constitution wasn't written for Black people, because slavery was why they were writing it and, you know, going back and forth and checking their pens and all this. Slavery was still in existence on one level or the other. So, and some people may argue that, but the Constitution was never with us in mind. Now, you may have some Uncle Toms that may argue that, but it wasn't about us. It was always been about economic advantage. And of course, it was to keep us from having that. And this is why it's so powerful and so meaningful for us to gain power, to gain Black power. You know, when we raise our fists and talk about Black power, we're not just talking about some physical power. Yes, that's necessary. That's going to be even more necessary. But we're talking about economic power. We're talking about power to create power, to push back political power. We're talking about all those. So this act is more like a constitutional Black code. And here's something else. As the Civil War came to a close, Southern states began to pass a series of discriminatory laws, state laws collectively known as Black codes. While the laws varied in both content and severity from state to state, some laws actually grant freed people the right to marry or testify in court. Woohoo! These codes were designed to maintain the social and economic structure of racial slavery in the absence of the peculiar institution. The laws codified white supremacy by restricting the civic participation of freed people. The codes deprive them of the right to vote. Listen to me, we have all of these voter suppression acts. And as a candidate, I'm seeing these things on all ends. It is sickening. You know, you have to, if you don't make your signatures, you have to pay, and just all these little things. And with the recent, when Rick Scott did the voter purge, I mean, that's voter suppression. And yeah, there are some things in place to push back on that, but it's voter suppression with rights, restoration of rights to felons or returning citizens. Even within that, there's some racial undertones with that. The right to serve on juries, the right to own or carry weapons, and we know that's a really big deal now. But they would only recognize that, again, like in the 60s, with the Mulford Act and all that, if Black people started carrying guns or whatever. And so we're seeing we're still living this. And in some cases, even the right to rent or lease land. And we know that's a thing, because even with the whole felon issues, being able to rent or buy a home, if you have that strike against you, it becomes more difficult. Of course, credit scores, I believe is a form of a Black code. So we are still living this, and this is not contrary to what people think. This is not a choice. But we do have a choice to fight back. We do have a choice to, and it does feel as if it's not. If we're not winning, it does feel that way at times. But we have to try to implement policies and legislation that will cause erosion of these already bad policies. So something else I want to read. Slavery had been a pillar of economic stability in the region before the war. Now, Black codes ensured the same stability by recreating the antebellum economic structure under the facade of a free labor system. Adhering to a new apprenticeship, laws determined within the Black codes, judges bound by many young African-American orphans to white plantation owners who would then force them to work. Adult freedmen were forced to sign contracts with their employers, who were oftentimes their previous owners. These contracts prevented African-Americans from working for more than one employer, and therefore from positively influencing the very low wages or poor working conditions they received. You know, and we could go on and on and on, but I want listeners to understand what's going on. These aren't things to sneeze at. And how dare anyone, I'm just going to say it, receive endorsements from these assholes. How dare you do that when this is by design. This is racism by design. I don't care that these officials are Black. It's all this. Hey, how many of us watched Birth of a Nation before Nat Turner became awakened to they manipulated him. They manipulated what he wanted, what he was to say, what he was to preach. His job was to keep the slaves in check or intact, to maintain the plantation. And oftentimes this is what happens. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to text it. I'm going to post it. I'm going to blog about it, because these acts, these laws, these bills, these codes, these little things we even see at the local level. All this is part of keeping white supremacy in place. So what are we going to do about this? It's so much. It's so much to uncover, to peel back. At best, we can expose it. We can talk about it. We can try to make accountability with conversation and going further steps. We can embarrass, but we have to get to that point as to where we're making a difference through legislation. We have to try our best to have people in place that can impact legislation. This is not about political affiliation. This is not about being Republican, Democrat, Green Party. This is about us combating against race. someone had some questions about my affiliation with the Green Party. I don't give a damn about that. But I do refuse to be part of the duopoly system. And it's probably going to come a time where no political affiliation will satisfy what needs to happen to cause a revolution. Because what looks like peace to some may not be peaceable for others. So this is not about a political affiliation. Both parties have screwed African Americans for years to come. Thank you, Bill and Hillary Clinton. Thank you, even Mr. Obama, on some situations that he could have rectified and didn't. So this is not about political affiliation. This is about bringing enlightenment to what has been happening, what will continue to happen, unless we demand a revolution. What do you think? Tell me what you think.